Because today is the auspicious appearance day of Govardhan. Krishna is lifting Govardhan Hill. So Srimad Bhagavatam begins where the Bhagavad Gita leaves off. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Prachaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Ahang Tvang Sarapapebhyo Mokshi Syami Masucha. They give up all varieties of religion and just surrender to me, and in return I'll protect you from all sinful reactions. Therefore do not fear. Now, the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is especially meant for Krishna to display that particular statement, that one should take shelter of Krishna. Not only is Krishna God, but he's the Supreme God. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ete changsa kala pumsam. Krishna is to Bhagavan swayam. Indrari vyakulam lokam. Ridayanti yuge yuge. This is known as the Pratibhasha Sutra of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ete changsa kala pumsam. That of all the different incarnations of God, Krishna is the supreme. He's the source of all the other incarnations. And Indrari Vyakulam Lokam. And Indra and the other demigods, when there's difficulty, they take shelter of Krishna. Now, in this particular pastime of Krishna, Indra does not ultimately take, he also ultimately takes shelter of Krishna, but he acts partially like a demon in the pastime, rather than Krishna coming to save Indra from the demons. Krishna has to save the inhabitants of Vrindavan from the demon like Indra. But at the end of the story, it has a happy ending, that Indra takes shelter of Krishna again. When Krishna was in the forest, at one point he was hungry, supposedly hungry, actually. Krishna's hungry only for the love of his devotees, and therefore all the pastimes are manifested on that basis. But apparently he became hungry, and he asked the cowherd boys to go to the neighborhood, because in the neighborhood there were brahmanas who were performing a sacrifice in order to be elevated to the heavenly planets. Oh, there's nothing there. And he asked Sridham and others to go and beg for some food. But of course, as we know, when they went to the Yagya Brahmins, they didn't pay any attention to the cowherd boys because they thought that all they were cowherd boys. They were not exactly on a Krishna conscious level of perception. In any case, they went back disappointed because the collection was zero. So imagine you go out on book distribution for a whole day and you don't even... you're trying to stop everyone, and no one will even look at you or stop. They may believe you don't even exist. So that's what the cowherd boys experienced, trying to get some donation from the yogic Brahmins. They would not even respond, what to speak of giving a donation. So naturally, it's very disturbing when you go somewhere and ask for a donation, and they act like you're a ghost. And you come back empty-handed. It's like the next day they read out the scores, and Prabhu so-and-so, he did zero. Boo. The whole team together, they went out the whole day to collect, and it came back with zero. So Krishna told the cowherd boys, don't be disappointed. Sometimes you go out and collect and you're not successful. But we suggest that you go to the wives of the of these yagic brahmins and ask them for some food, because they're my devotees, and therefore they'll provide you with whatever you ask for. And indeed, that's what they did. They went back to the wives of the yagic brahmins, and they prepared very sumptuous food from the sacrifice to bring to Krishna, Balaram, and the cowherd boys. So, at this particular time, Krishna was in the village of this where the yagic brahmins were performing the sacrifice, because after their wives had come, Krishna had sent them back. Krishna felt it was socially incorrect for him to have a paramour relationship with brahmins, brahminis. And therefore he sent them back, because he didn't want another scandal. Now, for Krishna to have a paramour relationship with Vaishya ladies was not so bad. But with Brahmin ladies, it would be against the social etiquette. And therefore, the ladies went back. But then Krishna realized that the husbands may not be so favorable in some respects. So therefore, he personally went to the village where the Brahmins were living. But at that time, Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men also came, because every year they had a ceremony where they performed a sacrifice to satisfy Indra. And Krishna noticed, because he's omniscient, so he notices everything, but he happened to notice this particularly, that now they were going to take shelter of Indra, an ordinary demigod. Now Krishna specifically came in order to show that there's no need to take shelter of the demigods. And indeed, Krishna says that those who take shelter of the demigods, they're ritigyana, they're lost their intelligence. So what to speak of if the cowherd men of Vrindavan took shelter of Indra, how much more it would be embarrassing for Krishna. Because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He happened to be Nanda Maharaj's son. He was personally living in Vrindavan. And rather than taking shelter of him, they were taking shelter of a mere demigod. Therefore, Krishna's reason for stopping the Indra sacrifice was to show that there's no need to take shelter of a demigod, ordinary demigods. Because earlier, the cowherd girls, headed by Srimati Radharani, had taken shelter of Katyayini. Katyayini was an incarnation of Durga. But their taking shelter of a demigoddess was for the purpose of achieving Krishna. So sometimes one may take shelter of a demigod in order to facilitate one's service to Krishna. For instance, Bharat Maharaj, when he was the emperor of the world, he also performed sacrifices for the demigods. But he saw the demigods as great devotees of Krishna. Just like we say, Yata Vaishnavas Sambhu, that of all the different devotees, that Lord Shiva is the greatest. Lord Shiva is also a demigod, but he's a great devotee of Krishna also. So sometimes devotees take shelter of Lord Shiva in order to serve Krishna. For instance, in our altar we have Lord Shiva also, but in the form of a Dvaitacharya. And certainly we don't condemn anyone who takes shelter of a Dvaitacharya, because he's a combination of Lord Shiva and Mahavishnu. Mahashiva and Mahavishnu, and he's a Maha devotee. Therefore, but in this particular case, Krishna had perceived that Indra had become a little proud. or a lot proud because of his post. Indeed, as it says in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we find later on Indra has a big false ego. Because even after this Govardhan Puj incident, where Indra later on will come down and surrender to Krishna, later on Krishna and Satyabhama will go to the heavenly planets. And there they'll find out that Krishna's son, named Bhamasura, had stolen Aditi's earrings and the umbrella of Varuna. And Krishna went to Pratigosta. You know, where the fortress of Bhamasura was, in order to get back the earrings of Aditi. They're really nice earrings, by the way. And the umbrella of Varuna. I mean, he loves the ocean, so he needs an umbrella because it's quite wet in the ocean. So they got back, Krishna went there, and of course, after revive, and he took some, they rode on Garuda, and Satyabhama was also there, on the back of Garuda. And after, there's a long pastime where Krishna actually destroys the fortress where Bhamasura was living, the Anila gas, the electric wiring, everything got destroyed by Krishna's blowing with the conch shell or beating with the club. He killed the demon that was the Mora demon that was living there with five heads. He killed all his sons and daughters, and ultimately killed Bhamasura, his son. And then he got back the earrings. And he also got back the umbrella. And what else did he get when he killed Bhamasura? Captured. What else did he get as an extra prize? What's that? Yeah, he got 16,000 queens as a bonus. He took back the earrings and he took back the umbrella to the heavenly planets. And Indra and Aditi were very satisfied to get back these paraphernalia. But Krishna had taken Satyabhama specifically because Satyabhama was a little transcendentally envious of Rukmini. And why was she transcendentally envious of Rukmini? Does anyone know? Yes, Rukmini had gotten a Parijata flower from the heavenly planets. And Parijata flowers have a reputation for being quite wonderful in their aroma. So Krishna had Satyabhama uproot a Parijata tree in the heavenly planets and bring it back to Dwarka. Now, of course, all the other ladies in there is another 16,100. And six queens who were probably a little envious too. So later on, I guess maybe they planted the tree in everyone's backyard. And then the heavenly drones from the heavenly planets, they came and settled in Dwarka. Even the heavenly drones came. So Dwarka at that time smelled wonderful, that everyone wanted to visit. Even drones from heaven came down. In any case, when Satyabhama had uprooted the tree, then Indra became very disturbed. Actually, Krishna in the Nectar of Devotion says that it was Aditi who became disturbed. Oh, Sachi actually became disturbed. Aditi is Indra's mother, Sachi is his wife. And so Krishna told Krishna, you cannot take this flower and bring it back to this degraded planet called the Earth planet. So Krishna, and it said that Arjuna and the Pandavas came to assist him. They fought against the demigods. They defeated the demigods. And Indra was quite embarrassed again. So Indra has a tendency to become a little proud. He has a big position in the material world. And sometimes he's so proud he goes against Krishna and defies him. And then Krishna has to correct him. So in this particular instance, Krishna decided the best way of taking care of Indra's pride is that the coward boy, men not perform a sacrifice for him this year. Therefore, in our tradition, we never perform a sacrifice for Indra. Because maybe that's why the weather is so bad. In any case, we don't mind the bad weather because the prasadam is good after the Govardhan Pooja. So his father was a little reluctant. Of course, his father had heard from Gagamuni that Krishna would be as good as Narayan. He'd be on the same level as Lord Narayan. Therefore, although his father objected, why is this little boy asking me why we're performing a sacrifice for Indra? But he realized that this boy is a little special, so he was a little hesitating for telling Krishna to get lost. So then Krishna began to preach to his father and said, "My dear father, maybe to persons who are your enemies, you should speak confidentially. You may not disclose everything. But I happen to be a relative. I'm your son. You should not keep anything secret from your inner family, such as your son." So then Nanda Maharaj revealed that actually, because Indra supplies all the rain, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Anad bhavati bhutani parjana anasambhava, jagna bhavati parjana jagna karma samudbhava." That all living entities subsist on food grains, which comes from rain. So we all have to exist in order to perform devotional service, or even ordinary pious activity, we have to exist, and that requires some food grains. I had some disciples, they were trying to become sun, they were trying to live by eating the sun rays. That didn't last very long. It's very hard to eat just sun rays. So all of us require some from grains in some form or another. Grains means all kinds of food stuff, milk products, and etc., etc. But especially, Prabhupada one time said that grains are the very basis of food. If you all the other things like vegetables and fruits, they're just meant to enhance the flavor, to give some variety to the grains. Of course, sometimes Prabhupada told some devotees, when Prabhu, he went to Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, that I'm only eating Ekadasi prasadam every day." So Prabhupada said, "Oh, that's very good. There's no need for grains. Grains are for animals." And then when Prabhupada was in another city later on, they told Prabhupada, "All we're doing is eating fruits and vegetables." So Prabhupada said, "Why?" He said, "Because grains are for animals." So Prabhupada said, "Well, I eat grains. Does that mean I'm an animal?" So grains are actually an important part of our diet. And in order to get grains, we need rain. So rain is also the most important element for our survival. Because without having an adequate health and a healthy body, without having a healthy body and adequate strength, we cannot perform either religious activities or economic development, nor can we gratify our senses, and therefore there's no question of liberation. But Krishna said, no, actually, Krishna, although he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he decided to take the part of an atheist. So Prabhupada chuckled when, in one lecture he gave. He said that God is preaching atheism. He does that sometimes, like in Lord Buddha. But in this, even as Krishna, sometimes he preached atheism. That God is saying, I don't exist. Which a lot of people will agree with him. In any case, it's interesting that God himself is claiming he doesn't exist. Instead, he taught what was karma mimamsa philosophy, that there's no need to do anything else in this world, because there's no need to do any kind of sacrifice, because we come into this world with a certain type of karma, and that because according to that karma, we'll receive a certain amount of fruit of activities and wealth, sense gratification, etc. It's all been planned out by our previous karma. What could the demigods give us? Because we're going to get whatever we deserve in this lifetime, according to our karma. So there's no need to worship the demigods, but there is a need to perform our prescribed duty. Because by our prescribed duty, that will actually give us the karma for our, if we do that, that will give us good karma for our future lifetimes. There's no need to worship Indra, because Indra supplies the rain, but to everyone, that even Indra supplies rain on the ocean. Now, who in the ocean is doing any sacrifice? Yet Indra is giving the rain there. So why should we bother sacrificing for Indra? Well, he's going to give rain anyhow. And Krishna is absolutely right. In spite of the fact that they didn't do a sacrifice, Indra sent down plenty of rain. So Krishna is proven right also in his future prediction of Indra providing rain, even without a sacrifice. Maybe a little too much rain, but anyhow. Everyone needs... And so, after some arguments given by Krishna, then Nanda Maharaj agreed and said, my dear Krishna, what would you like to do? So Krishna said, perform a sacrifice for Govardhan Hill. Because actually it's Govardhan Hill that's giving us what we need. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted from the gopis, that aho bala, abala, that aho og, other ladies of Vrindavan, that this Govardhan Hill provides us everything we need, that Krishna and Balaram and his cowherd boys and the cows, they're all on Govardhan Hill, and this hill provides us with fresh grass for the cows, fresh water for the cows, caves for our pastimes. Everything that we need is provided by Govardhan Hill for our transcendental pastimes. So there's no need for worshiping Indra. We should worship Govardhan Hill, Krishna told his father, because we are Vaishyas, and we depend upon the cows, and we depend upon Govardhan Hill for our necessities. They give us fresh grass and herbs and all kinds of things to satisfy our desires. So Nanda Maharaj was convinced and said, yes, right after this sacrifice for Indra, we'll do it a sacrifice for Govardhan. Because she said, no, don't wait. Such an auspicious activity is worshiping Govardhan. Immediately we should use the paraphernalia for worshiping Govardhan, for worshiping Indra. We should utilize that for worshiping Govardhan. And there Krishna gave a description of how to worship Govardhan, as well as all the different types of food that would be offered to Govardhan at the Govardhan Pooj. and how everyone should be fed sumptuously. Krishna has a thing about prasadam. Therefore, all his followers also have some attachment for prasadam also. When Madhavendra Puri, Madhavendra Puri also, when he came to Govardhan Hill, that Krishna personally brought him prasadam. And also Vilmangal Thakur, when he blinded himself and traveled all the way to Vrindavan to be with Krishna, then Krishna came as a cowherd boy and provided milk for Vilmangal Thakur every day, although he never disclosed the fact that he was Krishna. Until one day it dawned on Vilmangal Thakur that this little boy was not an ordinary boy. It must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In any case, Krishna told both Madhavendra Puri, and he told, well, Madhavendra Puri, his particular pastime was with the Gopal deity, who had stolen the sweet rice for Madhavendra Puri, hid it near his transcendental lotus feet of the deity, had his pujari find Madhavendra Puri, who was embarrassed because he thought of trying to enjoy the sweet rice. He brought him Krishna, who's known as the thief, Chora Gopinath, who had stolen the sweet rice, had his pujari bring it to Madhavendra Puri, who then tasted the sweet rice in order to prepare a similar sweet rice for his deity. Similarly, when Vilmangal Thakur was in Vrindavan, that Krishna himself came and he told Vilmangal Thakur that some lady saw you here and saw that you were fasting and asked me to bring you this milk. And Krishna made the statement that no one in my realm goes hungry. So that, especially on this day, it's a very important day, because this is the one festival day we don't fast on. Therefore, none of Krishna's devotees are afraid of Govardhan Pooj. It's the one day you're invited to take sumptuous prasadam, as Krishna and his devotees in Vrindavan did on that day. Although it says that Krishna ate more, he ate unlimited amounts of food in this day, that Krishna had requested the cowherd men and women to prepare a big feast, a sumptuous feast, and offer it in that sacrifice to Govardhan Pooj. And indeed they prepared mountains of ghee, mountains of rice, oceans of sweet rice, gulab jamuns, puris, sandesh, etc., etc. And they kept on offering it to Krishna in a very elaborate sacrifice, and Krishna kept on eating it all. Whatever they prepared, Krishna ate. And even after using up all their stock of food, Krishna shouted out, Aniyor, Aniyor, which means, give me more, give me more. Luckily, Krishna has a transcendental stomach, so he can eat more and more. We have our limits, but we still say, Aniyor, Aniyor. So in that sense, we follow Krishna's example. Of course, when the devotees offered Krishna one tulsi leaf, Krishna became satisfied. We probably require more than one tulsi leaf. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's disciples used to go and beg donations from very wealthy people. And they said that their Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, lived in the jungle for 12 years. And all he ate during those 12 years was Tulsi leaves. So when Srila Prabhupada chuckled when he said that. Of course, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada did actually perform an elaborate sacrifice of chanting Hare Krishna mantra for so many years. He wanted to chant 1 billion names of the Lord, and he was living in a thatched cottage, and during that time he only ate some rice, not tulsi leaves. In any case, when Krishna tasted tulsi, that tulsi leaf, he became satisfied. So hopefully they'll serve out tulsi leaves also, so we don't eat too much. Then, of course, there's a long story about Indra becoming dissatisfied, and there's a whole Govardhan Pooj where Indra was trying to destroy Govardhan, or after the Govardhan Pooj, Indra tried to destroy the residents of Vrindavan and the cows by sending the Sambhataraka clouds raining down for many days, and Krishna holding up Govardhan Hill in his left pinky. And many, many pastimes. But what was significant is that all the residents of Vrindavan, they enjoyed Krishna at different times. They had Krishna's direct association. But this is the one pastime where all of them together had Krishna's association uninterruptedly for 7 days and seven nights. And there are so many different pastimes that were going on. So many transcendental activities went on at that time. All of them, they didn't sleep. They apparently didn't eat, but they were all transcendentally in ecstasy. They were just relishing Krishna's association for 7 days and nights. So that was the main idea of the pastime, because Krishna says, paritranaya sadhanam vinashayate diskritam. Krishna, in one sense, he declared that you need no other shelter except for me. And then Krishna gave all the residents of Vrindavan simultaneously his shelter for 7 days and night, his transcendental association, and show that just by Krishna's presence, that all desires can be satisfied, and one can get complete shelter in every respect, material and spiritual. Then, of course, at the end of the pastime, when Indra saw that Krishna had held up Govardhan Hill in his left pinky for 7 days and nights, then it said he became thunderstruck. That's a hard word to translate. And baffled in his intentions, came down, he himself again surrendered to Krishna. And there are many other pastimes that went on with the demigods. Worshipping Krishna, all the demigods came together with Indra, along with the Sarabi cow, and they all had Krishna's association and surrendered to him also. As the Sarabi cow said, you are our Indra, because you protected the cows in Vrindavan. So on this auspicious day, the same mood is there, that Krishna is our shelter, and if we take shelter of Krishna, then he'll provide us everything that we actually need, and he'll give us all the necessities in order to provide, to perform our devotional service. And in this, in the Ljubljana temple, no one goes hungry also. So we can all be assured there'll be prasadam. And at the same time, Krishna will protect us from all kinds of problematic circumstances that are going on. This material world is not exactly progressing, as most of us may observe, and the prediction is that even if the material world does not go get any worse, which it probably will, still, the real problem is not our governments and secret societies. The real problem is janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi, dukkha, dosha, nudarshana. The real problem is birth, death, old age, and disease. It doesn't matter whether we're in the heavenly planets or in Slovenia or even in Ljubljana. That these problems are everywhere. And the only way of getting free from these problems is to take shelter of Krishna. So here's Krishna, he's holding up Govardhan Hill. So we should see that as this Krishna is our only protection and it'll solve not only the minor problems that we have, but the ultimate problems also. And therefore, for that reason, we should honor this day also and perform the Govardhan Puj. We should all circumambulate Govardhan Hill because Krishna has declared that anyone who doesn't do that, they'll be bitten by snakes on Govardhan Hill. So if you plan to visit Govardhan sometime and to go around the hill, please perform the sacrifice so the snakes won't bite you. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.